of Jesus. There's a lot of talk at this time about who is this Jesus among the Jews. And so imagine with me sitting maybe in the house of a Jewish family, and the grandson goes to the grandfather and he says, "Zadie, has the Messiah come?" You know, the grandsons called their grandfather Zadie. It's similar to what you and I would use the term Pop or Poppy or some other term for grandfather. But they would call them Zadie. So the grandson is asking about what about this Jesus, Zadie, and can you tell me about him? What does the Tanakh say about the Messiah? The Tanakh for them being just the Old Testament scriptures, the same as our Old Testament. And of course, they followed Deuteronomy 6, verses 6 and 7. The Jews really believed in teaching their children. And so the grandfather's all too happy to answer his grandson's question. He'll be happy to tell him all about the Messiah that is going to come. And so he says, "Grandson, what can I do with the Messiah? We are waiting for him. He will be our king. In fact, we usually refer to him as King Messiah, so you call him King Messiah, okay?" And the grandfather tells the grandson that the Messiah will be a descendant of David. Jeremiah 23:5, "Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that I will raise to David a branch of righteousness. A king shall reign and prosper and execute judgment and righteousness in the earth." He'll be a descendant of David. They knew that because the scriptures taught them that. And so they could bet that he would be a descendant of David. That would be one of the ways that they would help to identify him. He said the Jews would be gathered back to the land of Israel. And of course, many of the passages now that the grandfather is going to be interpreted, they're looking for a time of future fulfillment, whereas God had a time of fulfillment close to their time in mind, but they would still look for a future fulfillment for them. "Fear not, for I am with you. I will bring your descendants from the east and gather you from the west. I will say to the north, give them up, and to the south, do not keep them back. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth." Oh, they're looking for a time when God will restore of Israel. And this was common among the Jews of the first century, and even among the disciples. 6, they ask, "Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?" They were looking for a physical restoration. They believed that the scriptures taught them to look for a physical kingdom. And so they weren't looking for a spiritual savior. You know, they really had the understanding that they were already saved, and so why would they be looking for that? After all, they were the... John 8:39, they answered and said to him, "Abraham is our father." No, they did not think they needed to be saved. They thought they were already saved, and so why would there be a spiritual Messiah to be coming? They needed a king. They needed a king. But Jesus answered them on that and said, "Do not think to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. For I say to you that God is able to raise up children to Abraham from these stones." Oh, he just nullified one of their greatest positions, one of the things that made them the most proud about who they were, the children of Abraham. And this guy comes along and says, "Never mind that." Oh dear, this would not be popular with the Jews at all. They were looking for a military leader. They were looking for someone who would help them from this Roman oppression. In fact, they were only looking for a military leader. They were looking for someone to take care of their greatest problem, which was Rome. And here comes this Jesus, and you know, not only is he talking in riddles and different kinds of ways, but he even did the worst thing possible in their minds. He equated himself with God. Jesus said to them, "Most assuredly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am." Oh, that's the phrase. That's the phrase that deity used throughout the Bible to refer to himself, that God used to refer to himself in. Just used that phrase concerning him, his own self, Who does he think he is, this man? He thinks he is God himself. And you and I realize, of course, that he was. But in John 5:18, therefore the Jews sought all the more to kill him, because he not only broke the Sabbath in their minds, but also said that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. Oh, no. Oh, Jesus does not fit the bill. Jesus does not match with the description of the Messiah in the Scriptures in their minds. In fact, he's quite the opposite. So the grandfather goes on to teach this grandson who's asking him this very important question. And he says, he will be a great judge among the people. You see, another physical manifestation. Those days and at that time, I will cause to grow up to David a branch of righteousness. He shall execute judgment and righteousness in the earth. And so this is what they were looking for. Freedom from Rome is what they were looking for. Rome was in control politically. It was Pompey the Great who took the city of Rome in 63 BC. And do you know, Pompey entered the Holy of Holies in the temple and thereby desecrated the Jewish minds. And so that's the time when Jerusalem was made a part of the Roman Empire and the high priests were largely stripped of their power. That's the time when it came, they had been under Roman rule for about 70 years at that point, and they were looking for deliverance. They wanted out from under this oppression. They wanted to be in control themselves again. They wanted to be the Jewish nation. And so anything less to them was just absolutely unthinkable. What do you mean that it would not be a physical? No. The Jewish kingdom. That's what we want back. That's what the Bible is telling us, to come back. They believed that the Messiah, when he came, would restore the Sanhedrin, the Supreme Court of Judaism at the time. And it just continued to go down in power until not being there anymore. 425 AD was the official ending of the Sanhedrin. They were looking for the king, the Messiah, to come and to build the third temple. They wanted the temple rebuilt. This Dome of the Rock that's there now, they want that gone, and they want the temple rebuilt. And so that's what they believe the Messiah will do when he... man who will know the commandments and will bring in an age of peace. The Jews have always passed on a lot of their teaching orally and have a very high regard for all of those oral teachings, like many cultures do, but they really lift these oral teachings up high. In fact, equate them as equal to the authority of the Scriptures, and I dare say have them as even higher than their understanding of the Scriptures, because the traditions, they'll say, are easily understood. The Scriptures, on the other hand, are not so easily understood. And so in Judaism, they have the Shiva, sitting with the dead for 7 days, one of their traditions. And then there's the chupa, the canopy over the wedding couple when they're getting married. There's the breaking of the glass wrapped up in the cloth at the wedding ceremony. And so this is meant to represent the destruction of the temple. And so even in times of joy, they remember their history and have a tribute to it. It was in 190 AD that they recorded all of these oral traditions. And so it is known as the Mishnah. Is the Messiah our Savior, Zadie? Well, he's not a Savior from sins. We have animal sacrifices for that. He's a military leader, a deliverer. That's what God has promised us. A Jewish medical doctor once said to a Christian, "You believe Messiah has come. We are still waiting for him. You believe he will come again. Well, when he comes, perhaps we will see that it is Jesus. But why get so head up about it now? Why be so concerned about it now?" He did not believe his personal salvation depended on the coming of the Messiah. Another said to a Christian, "Your trouble is that you make far too much of Messiah. To you, he's everything. To us, he's not such an important person, whoever he is." And so even today, they believe that there is a prospect for the Messiah in every generation. and the conditions of his coming, what will actually bring it about are not that it's the one perfect person, but in each generation, one might become him when the world is ready, when the people are good enough and the people are desperate enough for him to come. Then the one who might be the Messiah, he will rise up, and then they will have their man. One of the challenges with Judaism, both during the days of Jesus and today, is that there is a debate approach. You know, the traditions, this we know, and this they can count on in their minds. But when it comes to the scriptures and interpreting them, well, one rabbi says this, one rabbi says this. Which side, which rabbi do you agree with? And we'll talk about that. And we'll never arrive maybe at a conclusion, but it'll be a great debate and a great discussion. And so, if we ever have the opportunity to be able to talk with our friends, the Jews, then it is good for us to be able to establish a sense of authority on the scriptures before being able to move forward. And so the grandson says, Zadie, now he's narrowing his focus because everybody's talking about Jesus. Zadie, could this be the Messiah? Could Jesus be the Messiah? And the grandfather says, no, he's a teacher. He's not a military man. What government does he have? What can he do against the Romans? He has only a few followers, and all of them are teachers. Our leaders don't even like him. The Pharisees don't like him. The Sadducees don't like him. The lawyers don't like him. So who's he going to lead? What can he do? He's a teacher. He's not the Messiah. But Zadie, he does miracles. You say miracles. What miracles? He doesn't meet the requirements of the scriptures. We trust the scriptures. The scriptures say that he will bring in an age of peace. But look at this Jesus. It's fighting all around him all of the time. But Zadie, some say he fulfills the prophecies of the Messiah. And then Genesis 49, verse 10, or rather, the grandfather points out that Jesus not only doesn't establish and hold on to the Old Testament scriptures, but he actually goes against them. Jesus will say, you have heard that it was said of those of old, but I say to you. And so Jesus, in their minds, is actually going against the Old Testament law. How could he be the Messiah? So the grandson says, well, he fulfills the prophecies in Genesis 49:10. The scepter will not depart from Judah. And then we see it fulfilled in Luke 3:33. Okay, says the grandfather. He's from the tribe of Judah. He had a 1 in 12 chance. He got lucky. And then the grandson says, the scriptures say that he'll teach in parables, Zadie. And Jesus does. He teaches in parables. Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old. And then fulfilled in Matthew 13:34-35. The grandfather says, who can understand him? He talks about mustard seeds and fig trees, and a sower went forth to sow. It sounds like he's more interested in gardening than in being the Messiah. The young boy says, it is said that a man would go before him preparing his way. Could he be the one that they call John the Baptist? Isaiah 40 verses 3 and 4. And then fulfilled in John 1, verse 23. Grandson, John eats locusts. He wears camel's hair for clothes. Do you want to eat grasshoppers? This is not a man we should be listening to. And the grandson says, I overheard something else in the marketplace, that Jesus was betrayed for 30 pieces of silver. And I thought of Zechariah 11:12-13. And how it's fulfilled in Matthew 27, verses 6 through 10. Grandson, what did you overhear? Were they talking about the Messiah or buying a donkey? Maybe you didn't overhear so well. Sometimes we hear what we want to hear. Never mind about this Jesus. He's not the Messiah. He will not restore the kingdom and defeat the Romans. So never mind. And that's what the Jewish grandfather may have said. But then, you know, with me, that there was a baby born. For unto us a son is given. Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And the government will be upon his shoulder. And his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over the flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. And the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. He was in the world, and the world was made through Him, and the world did not know Him. He came to His own, and His own did not receive Him. But as many as received Him, to them He gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in His name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. John answered them, saying, "I baptize with water, but there stands one among you whom you do not know. It is He who, coming after me, is preferred before me, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to loose." The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Simeon was a Jew in Jerusalem, a just man who was waiting for the consolation of Israel. God told him he wouldn't die until he saw the Christ. When he saw Jesus in the temple, he took Him in his arms and said, "For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel." They brought the donkey and the colt and laid their clothes on them and set Him on them, and a very great multitude spread their clothes from the trees and spread them on the road. Then the multitudes who went before and those who followed cried out, saying, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest!" And when he had come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, "Who is this?" So the multitude said, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth of Galilee." And when John had heard in prison about the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said to them, "Are you the coming one?" And said to them, "Go and tell John the things which you hear and see. The blind see and the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he who is not offended because of me. I am poured out like water. All of my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It has melted within me. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue clings to my jaws. You have brought me to the dust of earth, for dogs have surrounded me. The congregation of the wicked has enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. I can count all my bones. They look and stare at me. They divide my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots." Now it was about the sixth hour, and there was darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour, and the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was torn in two. And when Jesus had cried out with a loud voice, he said, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." Having said this, he breathed his last. Then, as they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth, they said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen." Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples, "I have seen the Lord." And that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in His name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem, that they might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the Word, that He might present her to Himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. The Jewish Zaidi, the grandson, me, you, and everyone are compelled to come to Jesus and be baptized, washing our sins away, and to share in His great purpose to seek and save that which was lost, to believe that Jesus is the Son of God, the Messiah, and to make that message known to all, to honor the Christ and to magnify His name. Therefore, God has highly exalted Him and given Him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of those in heaven and those on earth and those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. May we recognize the glory of the Christ. May we honor Him and bow down on our knees before Him. He is worthy of all of our worship and praise. Have you given your life to Christ? Have you recognized Him as the Messiah, our Savior, and honored Him as so? If you have the need to ask for the prayers of the church or to put your Lord on in baptism, won't you come right now as we stand and sing?